Morning, everybody. There's an old proverb that states that necessity is the mother of innovation, and I think one area where this is particularly relevant is with the stink bug problem that we're seeing in BT cotton nowadays. And I think one method that we can use...
Speak into the microphone.
Thank you. One method that we can use is using some technology that was initially developed for homeland security purposes for detecting chemicals in the atmosphere, and applying this technology to sampling damaged bolls in cotton fields. And so what I'm going to talk to you about today is some research that we've been doing using some of this technology to try to assess in a non-destructive way damaged cotton bolls in the field. And so just quickly, I'm going to go real fast through some introductory things, since I think everybody already understands the problems that we're seeing with stink bugs in BT cotton. And I'll talk a little bit about phenomenon of herbivore-induced plant volatile emissions, and follow that up by just introducing you to some of this technology that we're using. And then talk about some data that we've been collecting from some experiments we've been running, one in the field from 2007, and some greenhouse data that we've been collecting looking at volatile emissions from several plant cultivars in response to three hemipteran pests, and then also doing some quick ENOS sampling. Everybody pretty much already knows that there's been a lot of progress made in reducing reliance on insecticides and cotton production for controlling lepidopterans. However, as a result, this progress has been threatened by an increase in hemipteran pest damage that were previously controlled by these high insecticide inputs and conventional varieties. And some data from Dr. Mike Williams just kind of exemplifies this problem. As you can see, since the introduction of BT, there's been approximately a four-fold reduction in bales lost due to bollworms and budworms, and approximately about a five to six-fold increase in bales lost in the southeastern United States due to the sucking bug complex, particularly Lydius and stink bugs. Now, 2007 was actually a pretty good year for stink bugs, or bad, depending on your perspective. But as Dr. Williams stated yesterday, we're expecting to see these numbers for stink bugs and Lydius increase in 2008. And so some of the problems with stink bugs is that, one, they're difficult to find and directly observe them in the field. And also, as we've been seeing today, there's some difficulty in correlating external damage with internal damage. And so some of the assessment practices require that consultants collect at least 25 bolls for some of the smallest fields and then crack those open and look for the internal staining of the lint and also the callus warts on the internal carpal wall. And so there's definitely a need for some more time effective and some more non-destructive ways of sampling these damaged cotton bolls and analyzing stink bug damage in the field. And it is well known that in many plant insect systems that oral secretions from herbivores can induce the emission of odors from plant material. And this occurs both at the site of damage, but this signal is also amplified throughout the entire plant, resulting in a systemic release of odors. And so these odors that are released systemically throughout the plant are also used by natural enemies, beneficial insects that are attracted to these compounds. And depending on, sometimes it can be a species-specific difference, but sometimes depending on what kind of feeding mode the herbivore uses, they can induce a completely different profile of odors from plants. What I'm showing here basically is some data that was collected by some other researchers that shows leaf chewers induce a much greater diversity and quantity of volatiles compared to a sapsucker such as the silverleaf whitefly. And so I think that there's potential here for exploiting these profiles of odors using some electronic sensing technology to quickly sample the bowl and determine whether or not this bowl has been damaged by a stink bug, a beet armyworm, et cetera. Enter the electronic nose. This is the device that we're using. This is called the Cyranose 320. This is a portable electronic device that can be taken directly out into the field, and we can sample bowls. Briefly, how this technology works is it contains a series of 32 sensors that are black carbon polymers, and they are connected to a series of electrical leads. And so when an airstream is drawn across these sensors, certain chemicals in that odor stream or in that airstream are absorbed by these sensors. These sensors swell, and it causes an electrical resistance change that results in a smell print, a response pattern from the sensors. And these smell prints are specific for particular chemical odors that are in the atmosphere. And so we're trying to use this technology and apply it to the volatile emissions from cotton bolls. And so that's our major objective, is to try to determine the feasibility of using this technology in the field for assessing stink bug damage to cotton bolls. But in order to be able to do that, we have to first understand and identify whether or not cotton bolls are releasing volatile emissions in response to damage. And we need to be able to identify what these compounds are to begin with before we can proceed using this technology. And so that's basically where we're at right now, is trying to identify some of these compounds. And we've made some pretty good progress in this area. So some questions that we initially wanted to ask was, well, if this is going to be useful technology, we need to know how repeatable these volatile emissions are among cultivars that are planted across the cotton belt. Do the volatile emissions differ substantially in response to pest damage? Do hemipteran pests induce these volatile emissions? And then also, ultimately, can an electronic nose differentiate between damaged and undamaged volatile emissions from these cotton bolls? So some standard methods that we use for volatile collection involve enclosing stink bugs onto cotton bolls, developing cotton bolls, and all bolls that we used in our experiments were approximately 10 days from anthesis, 10 to 12 days from anthesis, and we enclosed stink bugs inside of styrofoam cups that had some nylon stretched over the top of them to keep the bugs caged on the bowl for a certain amount of time. Following that, we removed the stink bugs from the bowls, and we place a gas sampling bag. Place a gas sampling bag over the targeted bowl and insert a volatile collection trap onto that. So these are the methods that we use for analyzing what components we have coming off of these bowls. After a certain amount of sampling time, we take these traps and we elute the volatiles off of these traps into a solvent such as hexane or pentane, and then inject these samples into a gas chromatograph to separate these compounds out, and then analyze them by mass spectrometry to identify exactly what compounds we have in our sample. Following that, we also do some serinose sampling. Inside the same gas polymer, the same nylon polymer gas sampling bags, and take a brief sniff of the air coming off the bowl to see if we get sort of similar responses with the serinose, and whether or not the serinose can differentiate between damaged and undamaged bowls. So I began working part-time on this project in summer 2007, and this is when we did an initial field experiment just trying to examine and identify volatiles from damaged cotton bolls. And so we started an experiment looking at the differences between mechanical damage, in which we took a small insect pin and inserted it into a cotton bowl at about the same depth as stink bug proboscis, just to compare mechanical damage from herbivore damage and also undamaged cotton bowls. Green stink bugs, a single green stink bug was placed on a cotton bowl and allowed to feed for approximately 3 days prior to volatile collection. Then we collected volatiles using the standard techniques and analyzed them using gas chromatography, mass spectrometry. And some data that we've got from that first field experiment we ran shows some pretty promising results. It shows that the total volatile emissions from stink bug damaged cotton bolls are significantly greater compared to total volatiles from mechanically damaged and even control undamaged cotton bolls. And if you break this down in terms of the qualitative profile of volatiles, what we see is that there are several compounds coming off of bowls that increase significantly when they're damaged by stink bugs. And so this suggests that oral secretions from stink bugs can certainly induce the emissions of volatiles, and that the profile of volatiles is different compared to undamaged and mechanically damaged undamaged bowls. So we thought that was pretty promising. And then I came on full time just this summer in June, and we started doing some more in-depth analyses, looking at differences between cultivars, and also addressing some questions as to whether or not different species of stink bugs or different hemipteran pests in general can induce similar volatiles, or whether or not they induce different profiles. And so we used three cotton cultivars, Delta Pineland 164 and 143, and Phytogen 370, and exposed them to the three hemipteran pests that you see here, southern green, brown, and leaf-footed bugs, and allowed them to, again, feed. I think in the greenhouse here, we let them feed for 5 days just to kind of try to stack the deck so that we could make sure that we recovered enough volatiles so that we could identify them and quantify those things, just to get an idea of what's going on here. So this graph here just kind of shows baseline emissions from undamaged plants. And there were no significant differences detected between the seven volatiles that I'm showing here. So it suggests that the profile of volatiles among cultivars, at least the three we were looking at, are quite similar. First of all, let me show you this. These are some typical chromatographs from a damaged and an undamaged bowl. And I've highlighted three compounds here in the damaged bowl because these are three compounds that are commonly reported in the literature as being herbivore-induced compounds in many plant insect systems. And these three compounds increase significantly over undamaged bowls, the DMNT, dimethylnonotriene, and TMTT, trimethyl tridecatetraene, are very low in the undamaged bowls, and that last one on the end there, TMTT, is completely not undetectable in undamaged cotton bowls. It's only detected after there's been some herbivore damage. And so if we look at the effect of damage on our three cultivars, this one's Phytogen 370, we see that there's definitely an induction, an induced response in volatile emissions in response to these three hemipteran pests. We also see that the profile of volatiles between the three herbivores is very similar, and they're significantly elevated over undamaged controls. Similarly, for cultivar DP143, we see a similar response. Profile is very similar. Stink bugs tend to induce similar amounts of compounds across these varieties. Same thing for Delta Pine 164. Again, we see a similar induced response in the volatile emissions in response to these three hemipteran pests. And so another thing that I wanted to do is I took these eight volatile compounds and I put them into a principal components analysis to see if principal components could separate out stink bug damage from undamaged cotton bowls. And again, for Phytogen 370, the principal components plot shows that indeed there's definitely separation there. This is a mean principal components score, plus or minus one standard deviation for principal components 1 and 2. And as you can see, stink bug damage and leaf-footed bug damage causes a similar response in principal component space, and that these damaged plants tend to separate out based on volatile emissions from undamaged plants. Similarly, for 143, again, we see a similar separation. Damaged plants tend to group together in terms of their volatile emissions and principal component space. They group away from the undamaged plants. And again, this one was 164. We had kind of a separation with the browns there. The browns tended to cause a lot of damage. And I'll go back later if I have time and show you the volatile profile again from that plant. But browns tended to induce more volatiles in 164 than the other two species. Now, this is a CERANOSE response pattern after sampling with the electronic nose. And just to kind of walk you through this real quick. When the sensors are turned on, they're always kind of running. When you start a sample, there's a baseline purge that occurs that you see here. And then when the sample is actually drawn from the bowl onto the sensors, that's what you see right here. And so this is a sample. This was a 30-second sample right here. And then it goes through another purge followed by a secondary gas sample purge to ensure that the analytes are actually removed from the sensors. If you compare an undamaged plant, the sensor response from an undamaged plant and a damaged plant, you can see that the sensors definitely respond differently to these damaged plants. And comparing an undamaged sensor response to stink bug damage, you can see that the three species of stink bugs that we've looked at show very similar sensor response compared to the undamaged plants. And in a principal components plot of undamaged versus green and southern green, they do tend to separate out pretty good. A cross-validation of this data set showed 76% accuracy. But a closer look at the data shows that if the bulls are trained as undamaged, the cross-validation was 100% accurate at identifying undamaged bulls. But the 23.8% inaccuracy came when the sensor, or excuse me, when the serinose was trying to differentiate between stink bug damage. And so the overall take-home message here is that the data is pretty promising. 100% of undamaged bulls were identified as undamaged, but the serinose cannot distinguish between types of species. So we've showed that there's definitely an induction in emissions of volatiles in cotton bulls, and that stink bugs cause a greater emission of some volatiles compared to mechanically damaged and undamaged. The cotton cultivars we've looked at are very similar in terms of their volatile emissions, and also different species of hemipteran pests tend to elicit a similar response. So some future things that we want to do real quick is, obviously, if this is going to be utilized in the field, we need to do some in-field testing with the serinose. We can get our sampling down to about 20 seconds on a bull to get a good sample. I think I could even reduce that down to about 10 seconds per bull sample. And ultimately, what we would like to do is obtain some sensors that we know are responding to these damaged bulls and make a smaller, cost-effective device that you can take handheld into the field, place over a bull, take a quick sniff of the air, and get an idea of whether or not this bull's been damaged by stink bugs or not. So with that, I'll take any questions if we have time. Just want to thank these organizations for providing funding for this research.
In the interest of time, let's go ahead and save questions for David at the intermission. I asked David that you would stick around when we let go for the break.
Sure. Thank you.